Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Derek Halpiny, Head of Research, Global Markets EMEA and International Securities. It's Friday, 27th May 2022, and joining Derek to pose some questions on the financial market themes for the week ahead is Michael Owen, MUFG's Head of Global Client Desk for EMEA in London. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only.
Good afternoon, Derek.
Afternoon, Michael.
So, Derek, we've had another week of dollar depreciation. What does this mean for you in terms of the outlook? And do you think we're at a turning point here?
Yeah, we've been asking ourselves that question this week for sure. You know, I think that the catalyst is very much the yield story in the United States. So, you know, we had the minutes on Wednesday, the FOMC minutes, and there was that kind of reference to a reassessment of the policy stance after two more rate increases of 50 basis points. And then Fed President Bostich kind of made reference to potentially being able to pause. So I think that has definitely capped short-term rates. So the US Treasury two-year yield, the peak was 285 back on the 4th of May. So the longer the period of time before, you know, without breaking to new highs, the more the markets become convinced that we've reached a peak and a short-term peak in rates. That obviously has implications for US dollar long positioning. And I think essentially those that kind of got in long on the dollar on the rate story, certainly in dollar yen, you know, I think investors are beginning to question that, and we're certainly seeing some liquidation of those positions. And I think that's definitely part of the catalyst. You know, financial conditions tightening, that has been a process in play as well. And again, we've had a decent risk rally this week. So the S&P from Friday's close to yesterday was up 6.5%. From the intraday last Friday. So a pretty decent bounce in US equities as well. And interestingly, that's not creating upward pressure on short-term rates in the US. So that kind of mix of risk and yields remaining relatively low compared to the highs that we've had is creating that kind of catalyst for dollar selling. In terms of going forward, you know, I'm sure, Michael, you've heard of the dollar smile before, and that's the kind of theory on dollar performance. One end of the smile is when the US economy is outperforming, inflation's higher, the Fed's more aggressive, rate spreads are moving in favor of the dollar, and that lifts the US dollar. Other side of the smile, again, dollar strength, but for different reasons, and those reasons are risk aversion, asset prices falling, flight to quality, dollar strength. And then at the bottom of the smile is when we don't have those conditions. So you have global policy convergence, moderate global growth, less volatility in markets. And I certainly think we're sliding down the right side of the smile, the US outperformance. Clearly, the rates story that I've just mentioned is not as compelling. Certainly, US growth is slowing. You know, we had terrible new home sales figures this week, down 16.5% month on month. That's the biggest drop since 2013. Mortgage applications are weakening because, you know, 30-year rates are at elevated levels. So I think there is grounds for believing we're sliding down that side of the smile. But I'm not convinced on the other side yet. I know, as I said, we've had a decent week in terms of risk appetite and equities rebounding. But, you know, ultimately, what does the Fed want to do here? The Fed can't control inflation today. They can't control inflation even in 12 months' time. But they can control inflation expectations. And break-evens are very much dictated by financial conditions. And tightening financial conditions like we've been going through much of the period this year, of late, has had a good impact in terms of inflation expectations declining. And, you know, when we got to the lows in equities, the break-even rates were down about 40 basis points from their highs. So clear evidence that the Fed was beginning to have some success in terms of tightening financial conditions to an extent that drives inflation expectations down. Now, of course, if we're going back the other way, I'm not sure the Fed are going to be too happy with that. I wouldn't be surprised if the communication starts to change again. So I'm not sure we're out of the financial tightening part of what needs to happen. And therefore, if equity markets come back down again, then I think, you know, you could get another leg stronger for the dollar. And I think that's what I'd be worried about at the moment. But, you know, it's been a compelling move in euro dollar. And it's been based on our kind of analysis. There's a big divergence at the moment where the model has moved considerably higher. Spot is now beginning to follow our valuation model. The big divergence is down to the spread story, and the model is showing that based on current spreads, we could actually see euro dollar extend higher from here. So if tightening financial conditions don't come back, yeah, sure, you know, euro dollar could actually extend further to the upside over the short term.
Yeah, thanks very much, Derek. And in terms of other developments, is there anything else that warrants a mention in terms of your FX views going forward?
Well, we've been pretty bearish on the pound, as listeners will know. And of course, the big development this week was this aptly timed fiscal stimulus announcement the day after all the fallout from the Partygate report from Sue Gray. But you know, you can certainly be skeptical on the timing, but, you know, I have to admit, in terms of the size and scale, I think it could have some implications on the policy outlook over the short term. So it's, you know, it's £15 billion worth of support for households. All households will benefit. Poorer households on the lower income spectrum will benefit more. And this has been partly financed by this £5 billion. They won't call it a windfall tax, but it is a windfall tax on energy companies. Although the net impact could be more, actually, because the tax can be offset up to 80% through increased business investment by energy companies. So in other words, the revenues that the government may get to finance the £15 billion could be even less. But, you know, roughly speaking, we're talking about 0.3 or 0.4 of a percentage point of GDP in terms of stimulus support for the household, which will come, you know, altogether quite in quite a short period of time. So it is, I think, going to have an impact on GDP growth at the end of the year. So the Bank of England, for example, had predicted a contraction in GDP in the fourth quarter, primarily because of that expected increase from Ofgem in terms of the energy cap, which was confirmed this week as being another £800. And now this fiscal support package will pretty much offset that. So the reasoning for the Bank of England predicting contraction in Q4 is kind of gone away now based on this stimulus package. So it does change the profile to some degree. In terms of what the Bank of England would expect for GDP growth. And of course, then the minus 0.25% projection for GDP in 2023, that would probably be revised away as well now, because the base effect starting for the year will be different, given there won't be a contraction in growth in Q4. So all in all, you know, we were expecting two more 25 basis point rate increases from the Bank of England before a long pause through the rest of the year. And, you know, there's definitely a risk now that they could possibly go by 50. I still think that's less likely, but they could certainly go by more than just two more 25 basis point rate increases. So there is an impact. However, there are five rate increases priced still in the UK curve, and we still don't think they're going to deliver that. So in terms of what this announcement does for rate expectations, I'm not sure it's going to deliver much to the upside based on where the markets are priced now. But certainly in terms of our view on what comes in terms of actual rate increases, it could be a bit more, but still less than the market expects. So I don't think it has too much impact on FX, but, you know, at the margin, you know, if you're short and you're not too sure about, you know, your reasonings being as they were because of what has just been announced, then it could encourage some modest liquidation of short positioning, and that could help Sterling over the short term.
Thanks very much, Derek. And finally, the trade views. So if we could get an update for our listeners on the trade views, please.
Yeah, we're holding the two that we have in place at the moment already from previous weeks. One is short Aussie versus the Japanese yen. quite comfortable with the long yen portion of that. I'll have to admit we're not as comfortable on the short Aussie component. I think another reason for the risk on this week is the expectations that the Chinese government are going to implement further stimulus to support growth. We had some very negative comments from Premier Li in relation to economic conditions because of the zero COVID disruptions to economic growth. So I think the markets are braced for something, and that's helping to lift Aussie dollar along with the spread story that I mentioned earlier. So it could work against us further still, but you know, we're a bit dubious that the China story is going to suddenly turn around, and I think it's going to carry on being a negative. So we've decided to keep it, although I accept the risks are there that we could be squeezed out of that trade idea. And then the other one is long Swiss franc versus the Turkish lira. And again, I think there's good reason for that to work. It's working in our favor. We're well in the money on that. And I think the Turkish lira, in circumstances of the inflation story we have and not lifting rates. So there was a policy meeting this week that kept rates on hold at 14%. And of course, that FX-protected deposit account scheme that the government announced means every time dollar Turkey moves higher, there's more financing from the government to protect those accounts and enhance the yields to equate for the depreciation of the lira. And that's going to become more and more costly. We kind of number crunched a bit earlier, and you know, it's going to quickly become problematic. And I think that could create that spiral of negativity, and it could actually fuel further upside for dollar Turkey. And we think the Swiss franc is a good currency to hold that against, given the SNB have shifted away from its stance of necessarily intervening, given the fact that inflation risks are becoming more elevated in Switzerland. And that marks a kind of potential sea change in the policy framework in Switzerland, which I think will support the Swiss franc.
Thank you very much, Derek, and wishing everyone a good week ahead.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for more information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.